It's the middle of summer and politicians have largely gone pretty quiet, quieter even than usual, I would say, because most expect it will be their last break before a hell for leather autumn. So let's have a way too early look at the general election. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the episode on your social media channels. What's happened to that friend who is obsessed with elections? Yet we all have them, because the big speculation is we will be going to the polls this autumn to elect a new Dáil. It can happen anytime between now and March. And while the Taoiseach Simon Harris says, you know, the government is going to go full term, he keeps on saying it, the government is going to go into next year, every political party, including his own, is preparing to be on the doors in October and November, just in case. Even the Taoiseach has managed to get a few days away this month with his family, which is good to see, as it might be the last break he has for a while. So while the political system is on a kind of a hiatus, I've been taking a look at the general election to come, and a few things have stood out to me. So here are six way too early general election thoughts. Let's start with the big question. Just when the hell is the election going to be? Simon Harris continues to say the government will go full term, and increasingly I'm listening to colleagues who are starting to believe him. So what would be the logic there in going to March? Well, one thing I've heard from people around Harris is there's a thinking that if he can do this much damage to Sinn Féin in a few months, what could he do with basically a full year? There's the sense that the Shinners are reeling and can be got at a bit more, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Secondly, the man clearly loves being Taoiseach, and going into any election there's no guarantees. If this is your only time as Taoiseach, why not make the most of it and take every hour given to you to try to get things done? There's the argument as well that by going a bit later you give your new fresh-faced candidates who don't have a great profile more time to bed in being election candidates. And things are going pretty well for Simon Harris as well. He's been, you know, taking on issues, presenting quick solutions and getting the kudos on a lot of issues. He's inserted himself into positive news stories, like the Olympics, for example. And I kind of hope between you and me that he had a few of those tracksuits, because he seemed to be in them the entire time he was there. But there's been lots of positive Harris airtime. The problem is, though, he hasn't faced a really tier one crisis or a scandal as Taoiseach yet. There's been lots of middle ranking news stories, relatively uncontentious issues that can have a quick fix, but not a big crisis, which will come at some point because it does for everybody, and there's no way to tell when that might be. You could get away to March without one and have lots of nice momentum on other issues, or a biggie could come out of nowhere, as these tend to do, the government getting hammered with maybe some even the set ones, trolley crisis figures, for example, a winter of discontent, homeless deaths on the street, or we have a particularly cold winter. There's lots of things that could flare up as a very big issue and damage the government. So I think holding is risky, and most of the horses in the Fine Gael stable also want the election this side of Christmas. The one wild card about a November timing is the US election. It's on the 5th of November, and I know Eamon Ryan, for example, he wanted no part of that. He was worried earlier this year that the Irish, UK and US elections would fall at the same time and we'd end up importing their culture wars or their issues into our campaign. And having the elections close together does increase the chance that some of the mad shit that will inevitably happen in the US becomes a talking point in our own election. Trump says something absolutely crazy, the Taoiseach is asked about it the next day, it dominates the news cycle for a day instead of, you know, whatever policy document you're launching or whatever you're trying to promote that day, and the risk that, again, whatever mad thing may happen over there radicalizes someone here to do something or say something equally stupid. But I do wonder as well, is there an argument for the government parties for having people watch the US election at the same time that they're about to vote? Could it benefit the incumbents? So if Trump wins, for example, you come out and you say, well, America's going to enter 4 years of absolute crazy. You need a stable government more than ever. Sinn Féin are bad for business. We need a pro-FDI government to do damage limitation. Look how we got through Brexit and Trump's last term. Trust us to deal with this wacko. We are the calm in the storm. And if Kamala Harris wins, you say, well, look, sanity has won out, just like it did in the UK, where there's been a re-establishment of relations. Now is the time to keep the adults in the room and not let the Eurosceptic Sinn Féin into power. I could see how the argument could be twisted both ways. And just by looking at a totally and utterly bonkers, insane, you know, former democracy nearly at this stage in the US, perhaps viewing Ireland as the relatively calm place it is might be no harm in the minds of some of the strategists who think about these things. Now, the second election trend I've noticed, probably a small bit too early to even call it a trend, but definitely something I've noticed happening in the Fine Gael, which bears watching as selection conventions continue to happen into September to decide who's going to run for the Dáil. And that is former TDs who are trying to get another tilt at Leinster House this time around are not getting through the selection process. So there's obviously lots of Fine Gael TDs stepping down this particular election. In those areas, TDs of years gone by who had lost their seats were often seen as maybe the natural successors, those who had lots of experience. Maybe they had been senators or councillors again since and could step into the fray. But if you look at Cork South Central, for example, where the senator and former TD Gerry Buttermer, he lost the selection convention along with the party's MEP candidate John Mullins. Neither came through in the race to replace Simon Cobley. And instead, you've got two relatively unknown nationally councillors, barrister Shane O'Callaghan and teacher Una McCarthy. Similar situation in Carlow Kilkenny, where the former TD on the Carlow side of the constituency, Pat Deering, he wanted to get back in. He lost out to Catherine Callaghan, who is a total newbie, really. She missed out on a council seat in June by just a single vote. And she's now got the honour, I say dubious honour, because it should have happened long before now, but the dubious honour of being the first female Fine Gael candidate in Carlow. So this is a kind of a trend worth watching, because there does seem to be this focus on total renewal in Fine Gael, new leader, new energy, and despite 13 years in government, a feeling the party can renew itself without having to go into opposition. Kind of like a sports team bringing in young players when the team got old but still expecting to contend for a trophy. So just keep an eye on how that continues. Of course, there is a history of shenanigans at selection conventions, with the local party branches maybe picking a more obscure candidate, knowing party HQ will add the favourite to the ticket anyway. That could still happen in Cork South Central, but almost certainly won't happen in Carlow Kilkenny. They already have three candidates selected in a five-seater. The third pre-election observation, third and fourth really, I'm going to wrap two together because I have a couple on Sinn Féin. Don't their policy launches just feel a little bit panicky? I actually think they've gone about things the right way since the June election. You know, you have your review, you come out now, make it clear what Sinn Féin stands for, how are they different to the parties in government. But having policy launch after policy launch with more of them to come just feels a little bit like they hadn't got their stuff together in June and that now they're rushing to get it out in time to make a difference. A bit like they're throwing crap at a wall and trying to figure out what will stick ahead of the general election. Now, that may well pay off when the election comes around, in that they'll have had large parts of the party manifesto out for a fairly long lead-in, though, you know, I kind of doubt anyone but us nerds is reading policy documents in August. The flip danger side of that is that most of their manifesto could already be published by the time the election comes around, and that the media might just be a bit bored of it, having read it 10 times, and then will be casting around for other Sinn Féin stories, which are very rarely positive. We do know from Electoral Commission recent research that most people didn't make up their minds on who to vote for until the days leading up to the election, in some cases 24 hours before, so maybe this means nothing at all. My second Sinn Féin thought, in the middle of selection convention season, is what an absolute headache the party has when it comes to picking election candidates. Mary Lou McDonald ran too few in 2020, too many in June, so now where do you go? And places they were definitely running two candidates are now in question. Ultimately, it's going to come down to where does Party HQ think they're heading into in this election? You know, do you write off the 12% they got in the locals? I think so. I think they'll be significantly higher than that. But where are they going to fall? Is it the 17-18% in the polls at the moment? Is it around 24% where they were in 2020? That's a big difference of opinion when it comes to candidate selection. It's the difference between getting one in and having a shake of a second and your votes just being too small on either side that you get no seat. So potentially very costly. I think with a good campaign, Sinn Féin can still win seats, extra seats at the next election. And a perfect campaign probably sees them sit somewhere around maybe 27, 28% at a peak. I think 30% is gone now, is just out of the question. But if the party could even get back to the 24%-ish vote it had in 2020, lots of them would be delighted. They would take your hand off for that at the moment. And just by running more candidates, the party will increase the number of seats, as well as the fact that there's more seats in the next Dáil, so they probably will. Anyway, so my inkling, I would say go for broke. You know, maybe don't have the selection you had planned for when the party was at 36%, but they have to put more in if they want any realistic chance of being in government. The fifth pre-election thing that caught my attention: has anyone in government offered you money yet? My lord, the giveaway has well and truly begun. €750 renter's tax credit, €1,000 back on your taxes. Peter Burke wanting to give young people another €750 tax credit to stay in the country. Then John McGuinness saying it should be closer to €5,000 to keep people in Ireland. And they're not alone. Sinn Féin saying they want to give children €130 each a year to spend on sports and the arts. You literally cannot move at the moment for politicians offering you money, and the budget is still 2 months away. Now, final and last point for this episode, at least. One trend I have noticed that is very different to 2020. The government is happy to fight this election on housing. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are happy to put their housing record up against Sinn Féin's ideas. And if you're struggling to get a home or you have little prospect of one, that might sound totally daft. But here's the thinking. Every week, people are getting keys, getting into homes supported by government schemes. Sinn Féin wants to do away with the Help to Buy scheme, which is the stupidest part of their housing manifesto. Whatever about the merits of the scheme in the first place, thousands of people have used it and they are counting on it now. You take away a guaranteed 13 grand on deposits, hardly a vote getter, scrapping it, a complete turnoff for younger voters. There's also more of a split now in people my own age, late 20s, early 30s, into camps of people who either, since the last election, have bought or are very close to buying, and people who are absolutely nowhere near it. I put this idea to a friend and he said, basically people who are in relationships and people who aren't, which is also probably relatively true. So Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are not afraid to go out and say, yeah, look, it's not perfect. Things are improving. The more we build, the easier it will get. Meanwhile, Sinn Féin's plans will reduce house prices for existing owners and they'll trash the Sinn Féin affordable housing scheme. Sinn Féin won't be short of ammo, of course, to attack the government on either. Plenty wrong in the housing system and they have some novel ideas to bring forward. But there is a massive difference in the mood in the government between now and 2020. They absolutely will not be afraid to fire back on housing. How much people believe either side, we shall see in October or November or February or possibly March. So that's it for my way too early election thoughts for now. Let me know what you think. When will the election be? What will decide it for you? Or could you just not be bothered at all and you're out enjoying the sun instead? Message me on Instagram or X and I will chat to you next week.